Good morning and welcome to worship here at First United Methodist Church this morning. I would also like to welcome those that are worshiping via live stream or recorded message. If you are worshiping via live stream, up in the top of the screen, there's a spot where you could click and click the connect card to let us know that you're here. Those of you that are here in the building, you have a connect card you could fill out as well to let us know that you are here to worship with us today. That would be wonderful. There are, in your bulletins, blue sheets. These are the prayer sheets. If you would take this home with you, you can take this home and pray over it this week, pray over these people and these concerns that are listed here. That would be great. Also, by way of announcements, a few things. One important piece of paper. In your bulletin, there's a white sheet. On one side of the white sheet, it has information about the men's season opener. And right now, I do believe that there are tickets out in the hall that you can get for that. Also, another thing to take note of is the ice cream social this Wednesday. It is at 4:30. There is ice cream and pulled pork, and it's a great time. That time helps raise funds for missions. And so, please, if you can fit it in your calendar, come out, enjoy some pulled pork sandwiches and some great ice cream and some fellowship together. Also, on the flip side of this, we are supporting Samaritan's Feet. We will be hosting a shoe giveaway here on Saturday, August 19th. So read this for more information. If you have questions, you can ask me, or there's many other people around that you could ask questions about that as well. With that, I think those are all of the announcements. Again, welcome. Again, welcome to First United Methodist Church, where we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We do that for being a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. And like I said, take a look at these, because there are several opportunities for you to be able to serve. Stand and greet one another this morning as we continue in worship.
Sunday worship service, worship.
let's all join together this morning in the call to worship and prayer. Gracious God, you have searched us and known us. You indeed discern our thoughts from afar. You lead us in the way everlasting as we gather to bless you for your bountiful mercy, for the compassion and care you extend to us. You surround us with a mantle that protects us from danger. Our breastplate is your righteousness, fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You are our shield and our defender, our hope and our comfort. We give you all praise as we assemble in Christ's name. Let us pray. God, thank you for this time that you gather us together. God, I thank you that you allow us to gather as your people to worship you. God, we pray that you would be in and through all that we say, all that we do, and all that we bring to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would join with us on our first hymn, O Come and Dwell in Me, number 388 in the hymnal, followed by All Creatures of Our God and King. And you can remain standing for the first one at least.
Thank you.
And now we'll move into our time of offering this morning. Let us join together in prayer. God, thank you for the opportunity to worship you. God, I thank you for the way that you have blessed us with so many good things. And God, at this time we have given back to you. God, I pray that you would take the gifts that we have offered, that you would multiply them, and that you would use them, that you would use them to draw people to yourself. God, that people would come to know you as a result of our giving this morning. God, we thank you for the work that you're going to do. God, we know that with this many people gathered in a room, that there are people that are struggling. God, there are things that weigh heavy on our hearts. There are also joys that we bring as well. And in the silence, God, we bring those people and those joys and those concerns to you. God, we thank you that we can come before you with those things. God, we thank you that we know that you hear, that you listen, and God, we wait expectantly for your answer. God, we, as the people gather to pray in the words that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory forever. We now have the opportunity to listen to the gift of music brought to us once again by Heath this morning.
Dominus tecum.
Thank you.
So this morning, our scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared with the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us. The whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Creation was once subject to frustration, but not by its own choice. It was the choice of the one who subjected it. But in the hope, the creation itself will be set free from slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering pains up until now. And it's not only creation. We ourselves, who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest, also groan inside as we wait to be adopted for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in prayer. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that your word challenges us, teaches us, instructs us, and encourages us. God, I pray this morning that it would be your words from my mouth this morning, that it would be words that would honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know about any of you, but I don't know too many people that really enjoy waiting. Is there anybody in this room of people here that would say, I love to wait? Yeah. I didn't think so. First service, there wasn't anybody that really enjoyed waiting either. Have you ever stood in a really long line at a checkout? Now, I did this once. I mean, many times, but one time was very memorable. One time, I was at one of those big box stores. You know, one of those stores where you get the big quantities of things, and sometimes the lines there are really long, and sometimes they can take a really long time. So I'm standing in line for what seemed like forever, which in reality was probably closer to even a half an hour. It was a ridiculously long line. I got there, I put all my stuff on that conveyor belt as it was going. As I put it all up there, I realized there was something that I forgot. What am I going to do now? I waited for a half an hour already. Am I going to just say, okay, hold on a minute, run and get it? Do I let the next person go, or do I just say, forget it? I'm just going to keep going. I'll just go without it. Well, I just decided at that point it had been long enough. The waiting had been long enough that I was just going to move on. I was just going to move on, forget it. I could get it somewhere else. Not a big deal. That time of waiting was kind of a nuisance. Now, there's a different waiting that was long and hard and challenging, and that was the waiting that we went through before we adopted our son. That's a whole different kind of waiting. That's a waiting that involves a lot of stress, a lot of strain, a lot of trial, a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of pain. That's a different kind of waiting, and that waiting is challenging. Those are different, very different waitings. And our text today, our text speaks as to how creation and humankind waits for what's yet to come, that hope. The Holy Spirit gives us hope in our waiting. What we suffer now is nothing in comparison to the future glory that God will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. The thought here is that we're here now, so to speak, in this time of waiting, this time of looking forward, though, looking forward to that hope. So we are in that in-between time. We are in that time of waiting. And sometimes maybe the waiting might seem like a nuisance, and sometimes the waiting might be really hard and really painful. But it's a time of wait nonetheless. Our scripture today, we see that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth up to the present time. And that we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit as a foretaste of our future glory. So in reading scripture, I don't know about you, but when you read a passage over and over again, sometimes God will reveal things to you. Maybe a word will stand out. Maybe a phrase. Well, in my reading this week, over and over of this passage, this word stood out of groaning. Just kept popping out at me, and I thought, well, I mean, it's one of the descriptive words, right? So on that topic of groaning, I did some looking. Has anyone in here ever heard of a groaning toilet? Anyone? Okay, well, there is such a thing, and that groaning is said to have been caused by the hydraulic properties of water vibrating through the water line of a building. I am not a plumber. I have no idea. If there's somebody in here, they can certainly correct me on this, but this is what I came up with when I came across. So we might think that there might be air in the lines causing that problem, but supposedly it's a defective piece in the fill valve. So that's one kind of groaning. Here's another kind of groaning. Back a few years ago, Canadians were convinced, this is up in Canada, this took place, that they were convinced that aliens were making groaning noises in the sky. This is back in 2013, so not even that long ago, that they were making these groaning noises in the sky. This theory, of course, was pretty much debunked. However, there still needed to be some explanation for the noises, because there were noises. The Huffington Post cited a University of Saskatchewan physics professor who said, he said that the groaning noises in the sky were from the electromagnetic waves emitted from the northern lights. Okay, so the northern lights were emitting these waves, and that's where the groaning noises came from. I don't know about you. I don't know what to think about all that. All I know is in the end, groaning. Groaning was happening. We understand groaning as to make a deep sound because of pain or strong emotion, like grief or disappointment, or to make a low sound associated with extended suffering, sorrow, toil, turmoil. Groaning is much more than that annoyance. Groaning is much more than complaining. It's unintelligible. It's a sound that expresses that which many times is not expressible. It expresses the feelings that can't be fully expressed in words. Groaning can help express in the heartbrokenness or grief or despair, maybe physical, emotional, or spiritual exhaustion, shame. In those things, we groan. When we groan, we're in the depths of hopelessness and helplessness and utterly at a loss of what to say or what to do. In those experiences of hopelessness, that's when the Holy Spirit of God comes to us. Now, if we went back to the very beginning of the Bible, we would read in Genesis how one of the consequences of Adam's fall was that the ground would be cursed. And we don't really get beyond the fact that people have to toil and battle with thorns and thistles in order to get the return from the ground that we need. And we can remember the whole idea of dust to dust, ashes to ashes, all of that. So for Adam and Eve, that idyllic life in the garden was no more. And it would be no more for us either until Jesus would come again. Meanwhile, we have to work hard. And despite those efforts of working hard, our passage says that creation is groaning. All creation was subject to God's curse. We know that creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth up to the present time. Earth is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful and filled with many breathtaking wonders. But we also could look around and realize that it's hard. It's hard, and there are harsh places as well. There's difficulty along with the beauty. So what have we as a people done to ease this groaning of creation? Well, we've laid claim to Earth's resources and kind of made a mess. So despite our efforts, though, we try to care for the environment and try to reclaim this Earth. We've done little to ease that suffering. And our text speaks of how the Earth has been groaning in the pains of childbirth from the time of the fall up till present. Not only does creation groan as it waits for the day that all will be made new, when the old heaven and earth are replaced with a new heaven and new earth, not only does creation groan, but we groan as well. We believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as that foretaste of future glory, we still groan. Because we long for these bodies of ours to be released from sin and suffering. We groan, so to speak, because of those two things, because of sin and because of suffering. You could say that sin and suffering really are inseparable. If there was no sin, there would be no suffering. So we groan. We groan over our sinfulness. We may groan over the effects of broken relationships that were a result of sin. We might groan over the effects of sin that we left in our wake. In our acts of rebellion, we have not only sinned against God, but we've hurt others along the way as well. We groan over the effects of sin in the world. Now maybe some of you have heard questions like these from kids before. Maybe your kids have asked you questions like these. Like, Mom, how come there are mosquitoes that bite people and that bite of a mosquito can make people so sick? Or how come there are so many bad germs that we have to watch out for that those germs can make us sick? Or how about, Mom, I saw on the news this bad flood that killed a lot of people. Why are there so many floods and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes? Why are there famines where people starve to death? Mom, how come my friend at school got cancer? Mom, how come Grandma got sick and died? Mom, why do people set bombs off and blow people up? Why do people do so many bad things to hurt each other? Maybe you've heard questions like that. Maybe you've even asked and wrestled with some of those questions yourself. None of us are exempt from suffering and death, and it's important to understand what the Bible teaches us on this topic. Philosophers, theologians, pastors, and many others have written scores of books and articles and research on this topic. In our text today, we read from Paul that Paul gives us part of the biblical perspective that we need in order to persevere through the suffering that we will surely encounter. It's not comprehensive, but it's helpful. It's helpful and practical if we struggle to understand and practice what the Apostle Paul teaches us. He's saying this. He's saying that to persevere in present sufferings with hope, keep your eyes on the future glory that God has promised for us. To persevere in those present sufferings with hope, keep our eyes on that future glory that God has promised for us. There is much disheartening in the world. There are refugees desperately fleeing for their lives. There's wars, there's famine, there's natural disaster, there's broken relationships, sickness, death. We suffer the effects. We suffer the effects of all of those. We grieve. We grieve over the deaths of people that we love. We groan under the weight of aches and pains and physical loss, physical illness, debilitating disease. All of those things are struggles that we feel the weight of. And none of that was God's original plan. The Garden of Eden was God's plan. No sin, no suffering, no sickness, no death. So as the earth and humankind waits, God gives us help in the waiting. And that help in the waiting is hope. In a world determined, I think, sometimes to ignore God, how does God get our attention? C.S. Lewis wrote that God whispers. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Let's hear that again. That God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. May we open our ears to hear God, to hear that message of hope that God has for us. But with eager hope, creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. If we were to read in Revelation 21, John shares this vision of what's to come. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and old earth had disappeared, and I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God. We could literally let our imaginations just go wild there. I'm pretty sure, though, that this new earth is not going to be groaning with tornadoes, not going to be groaning with earthquakes, climate change, drought, any of those struggles and those natural disasters. Creation will be as it was originally intended to be. But until then, creation waits. We too wait. But we wait with an eager hope for the day when God will give us full rights as his adopted children. Just as John saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth has disappeared, and he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God, he heard, look, God's home is now among his people. He will be with them, and the Bible says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow or crying or pain. All these things will be gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. We will be what God originally intended for us to be. There will be no more death, no more disease, no more pain. And it will be because God has given us full rights as his adopted children. God will make everything new. When you look through a window, you see that perspective through that window. So if we were to look at Earth and all of the chaos and all the struggle and all the strife, there's plenty of evidence that the Earth is groaning as it waits to be made new when Jesus comes again. When we look to humankind and see the chaos of life, if we look there, we can see, too, the struggle. And there's plenty of evidence that we groan as we wait as well. The importance of this text is to teach us that Earth's groaning and our groaning is not the end. That groaning is not the end of the story. We wait. We wait. Until then, creation waits, and we wait. So going back to this idea of groaning, I looked up antonyms of the word groan. I found quite a list. It was to laugh, to cackle, giggle, snicker, exult, snort, rejoice, glory, jubilate, jump for joy, to be on cloud nine. I thought, what does be on cloud nine mean? It's the beauty of the internet. You can look these things up, whether it's really true or not. I found it there. In an edition of the International Cloud Atlas, the ninth cloud was defined as this. It was defined as a cumulonimbus, which rises to over 6 miles. 6 miles is apparently as high as a cloud could go. So when a person is on cloud nine, that person is described as high could be. They're described as being on top of the world. So we might be living in the depths of chaos here and now. But when we look through the window of hope, we see what God has before us. If we could get a grip on what it is that we're seeing, maybe some of us might do the less restrained, and maybe we'll cackle or snicker or jump for joy. Maybe those of us who are more refined and conservative might rejoice in that glory and in that hope. God's word reminds us that it's not always going to be like this, that there is hope. Even in the waiting, there's hope. Now, Paul, of course, anticipates us thinking this. But I can't see this future glory. I can't see it. His reply is, yes, that's the very nature of hope. If you can see it all, then it's not hope. Paul concludes, but if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. The key to persevering in suffering is to keep our eyes on that promised future glory, to keep our eyes on what's to come. I don't know about you, but I'm a big sports fan, and I've watched many games. And I wonder if you've ever watched your favorite football team, maybe playing even in the Super Bowl. Big game, right? They're up, but then they do something crazy like fumble. And let's say that fumble's picked up by the other team, and not only picked up, but brought in for a touchdown. And let's say stuff like that not only happens one time, maybe two, three times. Your team that you've been cheering for is now way behind. And maybe you're even to the point of groaning. If you're like me, maybe you're yelling. I tend to do that a little bit at sporting events. You can ask my family. Maybe that's happening because you don't know the outcome. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you even felt a little bit depressed when your team fell so far behind. But if your team came back from that deficit in the last seconds of the game, and they pulled it out at the very end, if you were to watch a replay of that game, your experience in the replay of that game would not be the same as your experience as having watched it the first time. Because in the replay, you know the outcome. You know the outcome. You know the end. So before, when you didn't focus on that because you didn't know it, there was that struggle, there was that groaning, there was that pain. When you watched in the replay, you knew what was going to happen. You knew what was going to happen. So there was that hope. There was that hopeful expectation of the outcome. Knowing the certainty of future glory gave you hope to persevere through the setbacks. So if we were to become anxious or depressed in trials, and maybe we'd lose hope, it's because we've forgotten the absolute certainty of the outcome. Future glory with Christ. Yes, there is suffering in the present to be sure, because we live in a fallen world. But God has promised us future glory. Keeping that in view will help us to persevere through any suffering with hope. Creation waits, and we wait. But we wait in hopeful expectation. Please join me in prayer. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that your word challenges us and encourages us. God, I pray that you would help us to remember the end. God, help us to remember and live in hope. Even though there's struggle and there's pain and there's trial, we have hope because we know the outcome. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would stand, please, and join us in the song, Lay Me Down. And I'd like to mention that any groaning that you may hear in this song is probably due to space aliens or the Northern Lights.
I'm
in our words of sending forth this morning. As we go from here, remember this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have not received a spirit of fear, but one of hope and confidence. For we are children of God, members of God's own family, and heirs with Jesus Christ himself. So let us go up with joy to love and serve the Lord. We go as witnesses of the risen Christ to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Amen.
Methodist Church has three worship services every Sunday, 8:30 traditional service, 9:45 unity, a vibrant multi-generational service, and 11 o'clock modern.